have a basketball program that we all expect to compete in the Big Ten and national championships year in and year out.
There's no other way to look at it. It's one of the better jobs in the Big Ten.
Final four!
I didn't think you got me this good, but it feels good!
First, I need that national championship.
Welcome on in, everybody, to the boardroom. Maddie here alongside Josh, Johnny, and Sam. Coming off of a 69-60 victory over the Ohio State Buckeyes. We have not beaten them in our house in a long time. Chris Holtman has had some serious success in Champaign his last few go-arounds. Not tonight, though. A nice win. Wire to wire, now that I actually reflect on it for the first time. Did we go wire to wire? Did we go up 2-0? And then
they were winning 9-5 to five at one point.
They were winning 9-5. Yeah. It's incredible how short-term of a memory I have 12 minutes after the game ends.
How long were we at 5 points for? Like 6 minutes maybe?
Okay, now this is just embarrassing.
Right, well, yeah.
Once we took the lead back, though, it was wire to wire.
Once Moore woke up. Maddie woke up.
Yeah. So we'll talk about that, and then we'll dwindle our way backwards to talk about the IU game. We're not going to shy away from that. But again, a mercurial Illinois basketball team. You just don't know which one's going to show up. But tonight, the better of the two showed up. So let's hop right into it. I feel like my biggest takeaway from this game, and again, this is just like 15 minutes after, was just like the three or four awesome highlight plays, whether it was like the Jaden inbounds play or the Coleman and Rogers back-to-back highlight plays. The guys were playing a little bit looser tonight, and even when they got it down from like 15 to 7, they still were able to play loose enough and get it back to like a nice comfortable win.
Yeah, it was just truly a fun game, and sometimes, like the game before, it's not fun to watch this team, but this team's a roller coaster. That's what happens when you have so many young guys. That's when you have only two returning players in the rotation. Like, you're going to have some clunkers, and then you're going to be up by 17 against the number 19 team in KenPom. Like, Ohio State's a very solid team. Yeah, there are only 3-6 now in the Big Ten, but, like, they lost, what, like 4 straight games by 3 points. And, like, I think they're going to be fine. Like, they're a really talented team. You look at the recruiting. Josh loves to look at the recruiting rankings. They're always near the top. And tonight you just played well at home, which is what you should expect. And now you just got to keep it going.
And I do just need to make one comment. Obviously, it's a podcast, so obviously you can't see anything. But Johnny and Chris Holtman are matching right now.
Yes.
Johnny,
only one of them works.
Yeah,
in like,
Johnny actually has a job that lines up with
in a field dressed for the job you want, not the job you have.
Yeah, Johnny, are you like auditioning for the Ohio State basketball?
Yeah, exactly.
He's got the really nice.
Yeah, I came home from work wearing just like a button down and his vest, and Maddie immediately says like, "You look like Chris Holtman," and like, yes, Chris Holtman looks like he came off of work happy hour and right. Decided to like barely coach his team and then tell them to shoot a three after we conceded last possession.
I think he tried to sell someone a life insurance policy on his way into the halftime tunnel with his outfit. But yeah, obviously he's had success in Champaign and finally the kind of the monkey off of our back, but obviously playing a lot looser than against IU.
A lot of Illini Twitter likes to talk about how this is the most talented team that Brad Underwood has coached, and the results haven't been showing that it's the most talented team, meaning that Brad hasn't like coached up to par with the talent here. Look at Ohio State's recruiting classes the last 4 years, and they are unbelievable. I feel like it should be more talked about how poorly of a job Chris Holtman is doing, because this team should be unbelievable. Granted, Zedke's coming off of an injury, but
he hurt his knee in the last few seconds against.
Did
Iowa.
It look like he was hurt
against Iowa? Did you see what happened?
No, in our game. Yeah, I saw
what
happened.
He was clearly hampered. He didn't score in the first half.
Regardless, we owned him. We owned him, and I feel like he's done a worse job with the talent that he's accrued over the years.
There, I don't know if it was like Holtman out, but there were like some weird OSU stuff.
And yeah, they thought he was going to Louisville last year. Yeah. Like they were like, I don't know, basketball school or I like.
Oh my god!
They seem like very on edge.
Yeah, yeah.
Speaking of KenPom, their Louisville is one below
Chicago State.
That's
so insane,
yes. Insane.
But yeah, Josh, it is interesting. Like you look at EJ Liddell's time where he was a great recruit, and every year they finish behind Illinois in the standings. Like,
yep.
Even though they were still good all three of those seasons, right? Like they were a two seed that lost to Oral Roberts. They were.
Very similar.
They made the tournament last year.
Very similar outcomes. Each of the years as Illinois, we just have ended up winning the Big Ten title in like the tournament as well as the regular season, which is the only difference. But like we're both out in the first after the second round each of the
years.
Yeah,
we didn't lose to a 15 seed though. But I agree. I mean, Josh, you know. Who like the 10th highest recruit on Illinois basketball is
on our current team?
On our current team,
I'm not looking at 247 right now. Let me guess. Our 10th highest recruit would be, is it RJ?
Actually, yes, RJ is 10th, 11th.
Brandon Lieb,
no, Coleman Hawkins.
Oh, okay. What's your point going to be?
My point is like, my point is your 11th highest recruit had almost had a triple double today, and put some respect on his name. But yeah, I mean, it talks about like the talent that Illinois has, and like you're able to compete with Ohio State, who's been recruiting really well, and it's nice because like in some points like. This is a very talented team. And like, yes, this is a frustrating team. I'm sure a few days ago, everyone was upset. They're like, this is the worst free throw shooting team ever. Underwood needs to coach more in free throws when we shot 39% and then we shoot 89%. Like, that's just how basketball happens sometimes. And just got to ride the wave.
If you get to the line, I mean, it's silly to say, but like, get to the line means you shoot more free throws, means you probably make more free throws. And Illinois was getting to the fouls. It was interesting. Robert was tweeting about the fouls were similar, but the free throw discrepancy was way, way, way off because we were driving to the hoop and they were taking more contested shots. Yeah, Coleman, Johnny, almost the triple-double. It was like 11-9-7, 11-9-6. So no,
Maddie, it wasn't RJ?
I'm holding on for the RJ triple double. Maybe against like this when we play Minnesota again.
He had 3-3-3. So that's
yeah. And let the record state that RJ should have also had another three.
Yes,
that moving
screen when Brad got up and jumped. Yeah. That was an awesome visual.
Yeah,
a great
physical game from Brad. He was also showing danger.
Yes,
he elbowing Dane.
He almost hook and hold Dane. And Dane was like, Brad, I'm
Dane
coach.
Was not a receptive audience.
He's like, coach, I'm not doing this right now, man. But I mean, speaking of Dane, so again, another game in which there is some Dane foul trouble. So another game in which, and I'm going to give Champagne Showers on Twitter full credit for this, the Deerfield Deacon had to come in and play some minutes, and he had that bucket and he had that nice little charge. And when I say charge, I mean he didn't take the charge, he committed the charge foul. But Johnny, you were commenting on how you feel like he's a little bit more comfortable, and I feel like we talk about Lieb on this podcast just a lot more in relation to every other player proportionally, but again, serviceable minutes.
No, exactly. Like he
2 minutes.
He,
we're
it was
2 minutes.
When
but,
I said minutes, that's
but
what I mean.
He didn't Multiple. Look lost out there in ways that he had previously. And we've seen Danger get into this habit a little bit of falling a decent amount. And you saw Meyer too falling out. But like when you can just expect like Brandon Lieb to not completely be lost out there. That's kind of a win. I mean, we were talking about plus minus is sometimes a flawed stat, but like if you look at the Minnesota game, we were -2 with Lieb on the floor, +20 with him off the floor, where it's like, yes, Brandon Lieb is essentially like a replacement player on a low-end Big Ten team, right? But compared to your starters who are good players on a good team, but you'll take that from where he was a few years ago, which was like a zero on your roster.
Yeah, absolutely. Speaking of guys that stepped up, I mean, should we talk about who do we want to talk about? Do you want to talk about Rodgers?
Ty.
Do you want to talk about Ty? Let's start with Ty, and then we can talk about Jaden. I mean, Ty, which, I mean, what do you want to talk about with Ty first? It was fun.
He just plays like an all around basketball game, and it's beautiful to see. In 2 years, like right now, he's putting up like DeMontis kind of lines. In 2 years, it's going to be so much better. And I hope we get 2 more years of him, because I feel like just next year, I'm talking into a sophomore leap here, and we've seen that it's not been so successful.
It always happens when we say sophomore
leap. It always happens. But like, he just does everything right. If we can work on maybe the layups.
Yeah, I was going to say, his one missed shot was a point blank layup, yeah. Which like, hey, love the shot selection there. And he had a cool little like hook shot. So
that was a nice spin and hook.
Yes.
Yeah.
But that pass to Coleman, oh my, the rebound and the pass, like that was just beautiful. And like, we always want offensive rebounds. We want offensive rebounds. This was our best offensive rebounding night of the season. And he had three, like, it was interesting.
14.
Yeah. Or yeah, he had three. We had 14 as a team. Like that was a lot of fun. And when Lieb was out there, we did go like all length supporting him. It was like, it was Lieb. It was Coleman. It was
it Sincere
Ty,
Meyer?
And I think it was Shannon. Like it was just all dudes who can like, if they're going to screen Lieb, like someone's going to be able to help. So it was enjoyable.
It was enjoyable. And from one freshman to another, start number one of, I don't know.
Two. Start number two, start actually. Number two. He played against Alabama A&M.
Again, I have a short, like I said, Josh, I have a short-term memory. I couldn't even realize that we were down 9-5. Start number one of the Big Ten of 74 more to go. Something like that.
Can only hope.
74.
Can only hope at least 74 more. That means he's doing something right.
Yeah, I mean, and Robert talked about it on the Spaces, kind of did the, like, Jaden Epps, Sky Clark, similar to the Trent Frazier and Mark Smith, and, like, very similarly, Mark Smith started the early games in the season, and then Trent, halfway through the season, started starting, and, like, who is the higher-rated recruit and more touted? Who is more of the dude who fit the system? There's some similarities there. And if Jaden Epps can be – like, it's you can't hold Jaden Epps to the standard of, like, be the next Trent Frazier who, like, meant so much to the program, but there's a lot of upside there, and he's been really steady and fun to watch, and – It's very exciting.
I know we probably don't want to talk about Mark Smith, but do you guys know where he is? I just looked him up.
Europe?
Yeah, he's in Europe. He's in the Bundesliga. He's in Germany. So good for him.
I really hope him and Trent play in Europe.
They'd have
That'd
to switch in like some Champions League.
Yes,
things.
Yes,
Turkish
between
Airlines,
Serbia and
whatever
and Germany. That would be oh my god, that would be something. I'd have to get like ESPN.
Yeah. Paramount Plus, like all these like just European guys are so confused why Trent is guarding this guy full court and like taking the series so seriously.
Yeah, it's like 0-0.
And Trent's like, this is fucking personal.
They're
for
slapping
me,
each other. Yeah, they're hitting each other. Yeah, that would be an awesome. That gets me like completely thinking about like the most random like what European matchups. If we just did like a really deep dive into European basketball, like what insane matchups you could find like that, like dudes who played either like in the same conference against each other or even like on the same team and now they're playing on different teams in Europe. I would have no idea even where to start, but I bet there are some like really random cool matchups like a Mark Smith, Trent Frazier.
Yeah, like John Cherna and Alex Ola were both playing in the Belgium league. Like
Sam's exactly like what I want. Yeah. That's exactly what I'm talking
the
about.
The Leuven Bears is like a Northwestern pipeline. Yeah. When I studied abroad in Barcelona, which is like a really fun fact about me, I used to like always be fascinated to see the European teams coming in to play Barcelona, and you'd get like Shane Larkin.
There were some like, good ones, like Shane Larkin, and
Shane Larkin, some like John Diebler.
That's an old one.
Name two more.
Name two more. Okay.
Brandon Paul was playing.
Brandon
in
Paul.
Those days, yeah.
I tweeted at one Illinois player to like come hang in Barcelona. I can't remember who it was.
And where did you guys end up going?
He didn't respond. He must have something must have.
I do remember playing with Brian Randall on 2K on when he was on like Maccabi Tel Aviv, like just very random stuff.
Yeah.
But I mean, this is great podcasting material.
This is what we people want, right?
Scotty Wilbekin.
Yeah.
There we go. Okay. Good job. Okay, so the game, yes, the basketball game.
I mean, it was great to see Meyer get back into the flow of it. Let's be honest, he really had a goose egg against Indiana.
Yeah.
It was like 0 points, and to come back, hit a couple threes, make his free throws, rebound the basketball.
Quiet rebounds.
Yeah. Yeah, the blocks. He keeps multiple block games. He keeps doing this, which is a lot of fun.
And he credits it all to
Coleman Hawkins, my dude.
I'm always going to set you up for that. He just plays tall. I mean, he is sneaky tall, but he just plays taller than he is. I don't know. It's fun to watch him block shots. And I was telling these guys, like, blocking a shot, that's got to feel so, like, I've never blocked a shot before. Like, I'll never do that in my life. That has to feel so good to block a shot. Have you blocked a shot?
I don't know. Maybe, like, some kid I'm babysitting. But you always see guys swat the heck out of the ball, and you're like, why didn't you just catch it? But it's, like,
that's
such a temptation and sensation. Like, just.
I don't think it's when you're going
to
just
palm. Of course not.
Like, palm the ball in midair. I don't think that's, like, feasible to do.
But yeah, I mean, aside from the IU game, he's had multiple blocks in every game for the last 8 games. So 7 of the last 8 games, he's had at least 2 blocks.
That's pretty crazy.
Like, you don't typically see from like a non-center. So you continue to get that rim protection, and you just, that's like just missed shots that you automatically get. Right. And I mean, this team, like they were talking about Ohio State, like they do well when they obviously like when they score more points, and when Illinois holds teams to under 70 or really in the 60s, like we're cooking. And you lose to Indiana because you give up 80 points, and you beat Michigan State because you hold them to 66 points. Like, a lot of the formula is defense, and maybe that's why it's sometimes confusing, is because like it's a little bit harder to evaluate defense than just like when you're making shots and when you're not. But
it's kind of like the football equivalent of like, oh, when you run the ball,
yeah, that's true.
No, but it's like you win when you run the ball. Well, it's because you know you're up. But it's like, well, when you score good defense, well, it's because the other team's not scoring. Go ahead, Josh.
Robbie Hummel was stating, and it goes along with this. It's like, I think scoring twos is like the equivalent in football to running the ball. But like, we take a lot of contested 3-pointers, and every single time we drive, well, not every single time, but we had such more success today when we got the ball into the paint, whether it was Terrence driving, getting the ball to Coleman or Danger in the post, and not just taking like contested threes where we sometimes just settle for that. It just seems like that works in tandem with getting the foul, getting that discrepancy in fouls that we were able to get versus Ohio State, who didn't make their free throws. When you have Terrence Shannon going 9 for 9 from the line, shoot it on his free throws, and then that works in tandem with having good defense, because then you're able to get back on defense when you have a made basket, and it's no longer a transition game.
They had no, I believe they had no points in transition, Ohio State. Zero fast break points.
I didn't see that. That's insane.
Robbie Hummel made a comment with a couple minutes left. They had zero transition fast break points. I don't know the last time Illinois held a team no fast break points.
That's wild. I also, while you guys were talking just a minute ago, I did do just brief background research. Trent's team made it one game further than Mark's team in the Champions League. So
nice.
Credit to Trent.
Go. That's another bragging rights.
That is so embarrassing.
Can we trade that in for a bragging rights win?
No.
So anything else on this game? It was fun. It felt nice. It's been back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. It feels like, so you're sitting at 5-4 now.
Yeah, should we talk
Let's go back in time.
Yeah.
And to the haters who think that we don't have the guts to record when we lose, you're a little right.
We don't.
All of you haters listening 15 minutes into our Ohio State win.
You're right. You're absolutely right. Look, we got our shit kicked in by Indiana and Trace Jackson Davis. There's no other way to put it. TJD absolutely showed us what it's like to play against a big man when you don't have Kofi Coburn. And that one hurt. That one stunk.
Yeah. I mean, nothing worked. And like, I think every Illini fan's like, oh, Trace Jackson Davis is overrated.
No,
like,
no, absolutely
like we're all
not.
Like, this dude's just like, hype, overhyped, whatever. And it's like, yeah, when you have a first team All-American for 1 year, second team All-American for another year, and the Big Ten Freshman of the Year, like that was Kofi Coburn's 3-year career, and just always played really well against him. Like, he's a 7-footer and Trace is 6'9", and like, you don't have to guard him beyond the 3-point line. Like, it was a great matchup for us, and we always won against them aside from the Big Ten tournament. Like, Trace is a really good player, and maybe when he's playing one of the best center of all time in Illinois basketball, he's going to struggle. And then you play against like decent Big Ten players and you dominate them. Yeah. So it's not fun.
Well, Brad, but people will... Brad wasn't even bothered by traces. He was bothered by like Galloway and Geronimo's points, which I think people were like, Brad, I don't know about that one. When TJD goes, what was it, like 35 or something on you? Mm-hmm. Like, I don't know if you could like play the whole pick your poison game when he absolutely scores that many points.
I guess I'll ask the question to the floor. Like every single person on Twitter had issue with the way that it didn't seem like the double team ever came. Brad said that they tried it and it didn't work for a couple possessions. But like, what was your thoughts? I know we're not an X and O's podcast, but like, I understand the frustration. I mean, I'll just pass it to you guys because I was the one tweeting from our account saying that I like just lay off Brad for a second here. Like he deserves a tiny bit of criticism, but not like fire Brad Underwood type of takes.
I mean when the opposing team shoots 62% from the field and the leading scorer 15 for 19 from the field, that's tough. Mike Woodson kind of like rubs some salt in the wound, being like, we were expecting the double team to come in and never came. Like it is tough, but I'm sure like it goes a little bit beyond my understanding of basketball and like IU being ready for the double team. I don't know. It's
well, who were they trying to like limit when they double a guy who's like 14 for 14 from like you're 14 for 14 from the field.
Like it can't get any worse.
Right, it can't get any worse. Like if Trey Galloway hits a three on you, like
so be it,
you know. But you try to take away, you know, TJD's inside game, which was quite literally unstoppable. So obviously there's more to it and there's a risk in doubling. But when a guy literally has not missed a shot from the field, it feels like you kind of have to sell out a little bit on the double team and take that chance.
Yeah, it was difficult. I mean, Trey still had 5 assists in the game. Like he's a pretty good passer. So I think that was some of the fear. Like obviously when you double team, someone's going to be open. And some of it was like Trey's making tough twos there, and then there were some where it's just like he's got really good footwork and post moves, and like I don't even know exactly, like a double team would have helped for sure, but like sometimes he's just gonna get his.
Do you know what we've never seen from Brad though, and like maybe this is just because it's the way that Brad plays, is like a switch mid-game to like we're running zone out, like a 4-1 or like a 2-3 zone, 3-2 zone, just so that like the opposing offense is just like seeing something different and they have to kind of think about it and see how they're going to attack this. We never see a zone with Brad.
Have we seen, when was the last time we saw zone either for or against this year? I feel like we have not seen.
Well, Syracuse, which we obliterated.
Well, that was,
But yeah, he's not a big switch in his zone guy. I mean, I feel like that's more of a gimmicky thing. Sometimes they'll do the press, but like that really hasn't been that successful this season. I mean, that was one thing Meyer talked about where he's like, yeah, Brad just stopped doing the press because it wasn't working. But yeah, we know a lot less about basketball than Brad does. So
I don't know. I've never lost a game that I've coached. Literally never.
Speaking of who's lost the least amount of games, though, it's still like Brad has still won basketball games. He knows what he's doing. There was my only point that I was trying to make on Thursday night was that we have seen him win games. We obviously came in with the wrong game plan, and whatever was designed for like how to work during the game, it was not going to, whatever changes that could have been made, it wasn't going to be drastically change how the outcome was going. You had a guy who was cooking, like you just couldn't miss any of his little bunnies or like layups that he had, because the way that we initially set up our defense to limit like 3-point shooting, and then obviously it just didn't work. The initial game plan was wrong from the start, and I mean, I don't even think like it wasn't like our offense was doing poorly, it was just we were getting owned in the paint, and just like it was the reverse of probably what Ohio State fans felt tonight, where it was like we had things working, whatever that whatever was being thrown at us wasn't working for Ohio State, and it was just kind of like the reverse outcome.
Yeah, and I mean, like Trace Jackson Davis is just a matchup, like a mismatch for Illinois on defense. Like Coleman is a good matchup against certain players, but Trace has 20 pounds on him, and Danger, who's 6'9", 270 versus Trace is 6'9", 245, like Trace is just a lot quicker. Like there's not many guys who as much who can like match up against both of our bigs well like that. Like, I don't know, Dickinson, he's going to be bigger than Dane, and that might be a problem, but like, he's not going to be quicker than him. Yeah, Edie's going to be a problem for sure. And
right.
But like, yeah, other guys just don't pose the same matchup problems, and sometimes you just got to tip your cap to the fact that, like, okay, it's a fourth-year player in Trayce Jackson-Davis versus Danger, who's still really learning. And like, Trayce Jackson-Davis was 3 inches shorter than Kofi, and Kofi had like enough like nimbleness to stop him. But like with Dane, when you're similar level of strength, but you're that much quicker, like, it's going to be problems.
I agree with all that, but none of that compensates for the performance that he had. None of that excuses the performance that he had still. And we're not going to rag. I'm tired of the ragging on the Brad thing every time. Like, what is going on? I know that we're like the peanut gallery, the four of us, obviously, we're it's all just in jest of like making fun of Brad, like fire Brad. But like, where did this all come from? A couple of losses in the Big Ten this year, and now every game we're making these like landmark statements about Brad and his
They're so ridiculous.
He's so spoiled. He's like spoiled himself. They're like, he's spoiled his own fans.
It's yeah, absurd. I mean, Robert wrote about it. He's like, there are people tweeting saying like, most disappointing season in 40 years. He's like, going back on the history, like,
40.
Do you remember the 10-year stretch from 2009 to 2020?
Do you remember my sophomore year? Yeah. Sir, do you remember my freshman, sophomore, junior, senior year?
Our senior year when we started 0-8? Yeah.
And you're telling me that when we were 4-4 the other day in the Big Ten? Sir, I know I have a bad short-term memory. Clearly we've established today, but I don't get it. And
it's funny. The team and the fan base both have the memory of a goldfish in like the opposite ways. Like, it's good that the team, when they lose to Indiana like that, just forget it and then are up 17 on a great, like a top 20 KenPom team. Meanwhile, the fan base completely forgets that they're just like, this is going to be an up and down season. Like, the fan base,
you make me pull my hair when you say top 20.
What blackmail does KenPom have on you? Like, what is he?
I'm just saying, Ohio State going into this game was 19th in KenPom, and I was like really concerned.
I mean, like a KenPom buzzer. No, I just think that like KenPom knows second. Johnny's they're, like deepest yeah. darkest secrets, and if he doesn't plug Mr. Ken, that like you know where he's gonna like drop something about him. But no, it's a good way of
like
it's,
Ohio it's, State it's, lost it by 2 at Purdue.
Yeah, no, it's a very good metric. Ken, please come back on. We'd love to talk to you for a third year in a row. It's a very good metric. It's a very good metric. But yes, we are spoiled. Did Brad coach too good in his first few years, guys? I don't know. Like, he won.
No, he actually did poorly his first two years.
He won few years.
And people are forgetting those 2 years.
He won too many Big Ten games the last 3 years. And because of that, we have 83% of our scoring is gone now. And so now that we're not 9-0 in the Big Ten, it's the worst season in 40 years as we sit here at 5-4 with a really good opportunity this Saturday to go, 6-4 Wisconsin. So, sorry, I just had to get that off my chest for all you.
No, I'm really happy you
Bradley
did that
because
I think we're
that's
all
the
on
fourth
the same
time this,
page
That's
here.
Like the fourth time this year that I've done it, and I'm probably going to have to do it again like 3 or 4 more times. And I don't even know who I'm yelling at. I'm probably yelling at some like 17-year-old from like
us.
Some 17-year-old from Teutopolis that, knows more about basketball than me, but whatever. I rest my case.
You did a great job resting your case there.
I feel like it does require us, though, to like be realistic with ourselves. And you're watching this team be so good against Ohio State, and like remind yourself we're probably going to have another clunker.
Oh, for sure.
We shot 5 for 28 from three. Like,
yeah,
you could.
Yeah.
We love the three ball.
Like, you could. Last week against IU, we shot like I think it was 8 for 4 or like 16 for 43 from two. Like. This stuff happens in college. Like, relax.
Yeah, we will. Between
it's a long ride.
I'm looking at a potential clunker game, either Iowa Rutgers. Iowa or Rutgers. I feel like we have to clunk one of those up.
So we're calling it a clunker, and it could be like a close loss. And I feel like the temperature of the fan base will call it a clunker, no matter if we like the outcome of the loss. Like. Indiana, definite clunker. But like, if it was a close loss, people will still exactly. But people still do it. We'll still make the argument.
Which honestly, in hindsight, it reminds me of how upset we were after that Virginia game. Which, like, at the end of the day, was like just like a very close loss that we were winning at the under 4. Like, like against a top 10 team.
KenPom
like,
team. Yeah. well, we were just coming off. We were just coming off of an awesome weekend.
Yes,
so how
and,
can
and the Michigan game. We were projecting some of that upsettance at
yeah,
that game.
That was PI. It was PI. It was yeah. play. So yes, a clunker is a game like Indiana. It's a game like. I mean, bragging rights. That's a clunker where you are lifeless throughout. Penn State. You have no response. You can't get back into it. A close loss is not a clunker.
And understand that Wisconsin this upcoming Saturday, like we between football and basketball, what's the day streak since the last time one of those teams has beaten us? It's like in the like eight or
well, no. We lost in football to them last year, homecoming, but.
We don't count that game. That
in
was the game we didn't complete.
But like, but if you just take whenever the last time we lost at Kohl Center was, like we lost at the Kohl Center so many times. This is a team that obviously doesn't have the experience of winning there. Like it easily could be this weekend. I know we had a pretty great game against them a couple weeks ago, but like
they didn't. Have
they're
Tyler
still a good
Wall.
Basketball team. Yeah. They didn't have Tyler Wall. It's still like an opportunity for us to not show our best. It's an opportunity for a loss. I'm not counting it as a win.
You heard it here first.
Could
each,
be a win.
Each
could be a
game
loss.
Comes with the chance at either the big W or the big L. I mean, I would give them that. I put the Wisconsin W. I mean, they'll probably be with Wall back. They'll probably be. It's gonna be close.
Yeah, I mean,
what does the ranking system should tell us?
Yeah. Well, yeah, they are 64th in KenPom. So that
where are we standing at right now? Where do we stand?
We're 26th.
64, damn.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, they really took a tumble. And they were like kind of the classic, like, oh, we were playing them when they were ranked 14th in the country and 42nd in KenPom, and the rest was history.
I'm so here for Wisconsin's downfall.
Yeah,
it's been too long. It's a year too late, but...
Yes, but Northwestern winning last night sucks. Like,
yeah, it does suck.
Them making the tournament sucks.
Oh, my God.
They were, like, gone into the abyss. Chris Collins was done.
I know. How did he, like... And there's still a long way to go, but...
And he lost Ryan Young, and he lost...
Pete Nance. And he lost Miller Kopp. Like, all those guys are starting...
Unfortunately, I have no idea. I don't...
Wadij and what's-his-face
are... Boo-Booey. No one even knows... Like, who are these guys? I don't...
So, the transfer from William and Mary, and, yeah, I mean... It seemed like Chris Collins was like left for dead. And there's still plenty of time for anyone in the Big Ten, with really the exception of Purdue, to just screw the pooch and just, you know, bomb. But damn it.
No one needs Northwestern to be good.
I mean, the thing is, from the national media perspective or the national fandom perspective, everyone roots on the Wildcats. Like, people like North, like, what's there to hate the Wildcats?
I would love to play them, though, in, like, the Big Ten tournament if it was, like, the 4-5 game.
Oh, my God.
Are you kidding me?
Well, I mean, oh, we played them.
Just start scouting Purdue, okay?
My God.
Jesus.
It's at the United Center this year, right?
Yes, it is.
Remember the last time we played them at the United Center?
Yes, overtime.
Yeah,
Andre, the 14-11 or whatever.
Yes.
Goodbye, Derek Carden.
We all came out of that arena being like, we're so going to beat Iowa.
Destroyed. Yeah, we got absolutely dismantled. put my eyes up to watch that game, a 3 was going. That was awful. That was just terrible. And it's also like kind of uncomfy to talk about it that we also like lost to Northwestern too. It's like.
That is true.
It's kind of weird. We're just like sitting in our dust here being like, I don't want Northwestern to be good. And it's like, we just lost to them. Like, but. Feed me them, says Johnny, in the Big Ten tournament.
Give me them.
But before we get to the Big Ten tournament, I think we got a little bit of business to take care of. As Josh had alluded to, we could either win or lose on Saturday.
Yes, both options are on the floor.
Against Wisconsin, currently both options. So, yeah, we will.
But, yeah, I mean, if you do beat Wisconsin, then you play Nebraska at home.
Which, like, we could win or lose.
Yeah, but being like... Being 7-4 would feel amazing.
Yeah.
Like being 7-4 and saying, just go 5-4 the rest of the way and you're 12-8. Like that'd be really nice, as opposed to, like, I mean, Josh, like you were saying, being 5-4 and ahead of Ohio State, who's 3-6 now, instead of tied at 4-5, It's a big
difference.
That was
not me.
Oh, it was Sam?
What did I say? Sam. Oh, yeah. Yeah.
You don't think it was you guys?
You really underestimated me.
Yeah.
I thought it was Johnny.
And no one even thought it would be me.
Yeah.
The murderer all along. The tweeter. No. Is this the point in the year in which maybe the Big Ten will finally start to, like, separate itself a little bit into, like, tiers or factions? I mean, you have, Purdue is head, unfortunately head and shoulders above the rest.
Mm-hmm.
And I think the bottom of the Big Ten is you have Minnesota. And then it's just a hodgepodge, right? There's one ranked team, but the league is deep. And maybe this is the point here, you know, when you're like 40, 45% of the way in a league play where you start to separate yourself like a little bit.
Yeah, we'll see. Like
Rutgers coming down, Maryland coming up, like.
That Rutgers game is going to be, like, I'm glad it's at home. I'm glad it's at home and not at the Rack, because if it was at the Rack, I feel like we would have absolutely no, like.
Geo Baker.
One does not simply go into the Rack. anything
what
else?
I'm trying to do the math here quickly, but, like, we talked about how we threw, like, if we were above 500 in each quarter of the Big Ten season. I just want to update where we are. The first quarter of the Big Ten season, I think we went 3-2.
Yep.
No, we went 2-3.
Yeah. Yeah.
Wow.
We started off.
We are good.
Yeah. Then the second quarter, which is ending at Wisconsin, we're 3-1.
So incomparable.
Yeah, it definitely incomparable.
So we are guaranteed above a winning record.
Okay, I want to talk about Q3. Okay,
project. What are we projecting? Yeah. Is this our sales
Q3
pickoff?
Q3 is a stretch that needs to be 4-1, and I'm saying that now. It is Nebraska, Iowa, Minnesota, Rutgers, Penn State.
Yeah,
Q4 is tough.
Yes, and Q3, Nebraska and Minnesota are both at home, so that's like you. Right in Penn 2-0 there. Then it's like,
oh no,
yeah,
Sharpie.
Yeah,
I'm gonna clip that tonight just to make sure we have it.
And then you at Iowa, home against Rutgers, at Penn State, you got to go 2-1, right? Like that,
have to.
And so if you can go 4-1, and
then you can afford a 2-3 Q4.
Yes, exactly. And ideally, if you beat Wisconsin and you go 4-1, followed by another 4-1, like that's.
Oh my God. Guys,
I hate you.
Has anyone been watching the first few games of the Big Ten season that Illinois played in?
Yeah. Johnny said ideally. Yeah.
Has anyone watched the games so far? Am I the only one? I just, like, no matter what happens. If we go 4-1 and then 3-2 and then, you know, Q4.
Just be up 10 at the under 8. That's what we do.
Classic guy talk. Need to stop here. Yeah. Need to stop here.
No. This is there's that, like, devil on the side of me being like, Josh, at the beginning of the season, you told us to just take one game at a time. Don't look ahead. Yep, still doing that.
Well, I mean, we can do that because, you know.
We're players.
I guess
very impactful to the team.
Anything else about the last two games, the one we witnessed tonight and the one from Thursday night, that anyone feels the need to remark on? Between one clunker and one nice win. Okay. I guess that's that for this episode then. Thanks for listening, everyone, to the board. We'll catch you on the next episode. ILL.